chapter 13. Amen. I tell you, but he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen to this. When ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first. We're pretty well last in this world today, aren't we? Amen. But the shoe's going to be on the other foot after a while. And you're going to be in charge. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Amen. Reading in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Amen. I'd like to talk very briefly this morning on the faces at the fence. Everywhere I went, traveling in particularly the communist world, there was a fence. Whether it was outside the airport in Bucharest, Romania, whether it was outside the airport in Warsaw, Poland, whether it was at the train station in Canton, China, after we rode the train all the way to Canton. Oh boy, so literally. Hundreds of people standing as thick as they could stand, each one guarding his place at the fence. Faces as close together as they could pack them. Looking into a little bit of freedom. It's the same in the Philippines, where they look out through the fence of poverty into the airport, where those rich, affluent Westerners can afford an airplane ticket. They consider them all rich. And most of them only get to look through the fence. It's their look at prosperity. It's their look at freedom, if you will. Amen. In Bucharest, Romania, the faces as close as they could get to the fence. Some came every day out of habit. What were they looking for? I don't know if they were looking for anybody or not. But somewhere, sometime, they would catch a glimpse of somebody that would help them. Somebody they was looking for. Praise God. Faces at the fence. Jim Setzer asked me, said, what does your boys look like as we neared Warsaw, Poland, and got off the airplane and was walking through the airport in that country that was built brand new after World War II and was not near so depressed as even Romania, because totally destroyed, Poland had been rebuilt and it was relatively new motels, cleaner motels. Better places to stay. The airport was more modern and cleaner. I said, we had bought John and Paul new suits here at the Highway of Holiness Church before they went back. And they did their own tailoring and did a mighty good job of it too. I'm telling you, it took a lot of time and tailored their own suits and showed me their work, and it was good, much better than mine. Amen. I said, man, you even crossed the stitches. He said, that's the way my father taught me how to do it. Amen. And they wore those new suits in the services. And amen. I said, look for somebody that's dark and handsome like Bill Corn. Amen. And Jim Setzer said, I see your boy up yonder. After a while, it was Paul Chesler. Praise God. And they was wearing those Western clothes. We'd seen so many baggy, poor clothes in those depressed countries and depressed situations. Those clothes is made out of shoddy, cheap material because they send all the good material out, and that's all that's left for the common run of the mill. Amen. And Paul and John had on Western clothes because you had helped buy them for them. Amen. And I tell you, it was good to see them. It was the first place that we got to stay in the homes with the people legally. We went right into Brother Kozlowski's house. Amen. I called him the Billy Graham of Poland. Amen. And probably if those boys that had been turned loose and it had been free in their to practice their religion, they would have been as great in their country as any Billy Graham in our country. Praise God. We got to stay with Brother Kozlowski in his house and eat at a Christian table. And I'll tell you what, this old poor boy traveling in a foreign country, amen, and a little bit depressed and homesick anyway, it was like a trip home, amen, to get to stay in the hospitality of a Christian home and not be scared. Because the dominating feeling of all communist countries is fear. Amen. They're afraid of each other. We stayed up a little late in Bucharest, Romania, in the Bible school, 15 Bible students, which decreased after a while. They wouldn't let them have that many. Amen. But I sung up every song, and they had their tape recorder sticking up there, and I sung up every song that I knew, and we were still singing up toward midnight, and one of the students got out of his bed and came down the stairs outside and pecked on the window, amen, and pointed at his watch. We was up too late because somebody might report the access activity around the dwelling house where they had the Bible school with 15 students. We stayed all night there illegally. If they had known that we stayed there, they would have did just like they did Brother Kozlowski and the boys when they stayed all night over in the edge of Romania. They would have come in with machine guns and run us out of there. Amen. But we stayed all night. Brother Victor, or was it another one of the brethren that looked at me and said, Brother Bokyan, that was the official of the church, must not know that you stayed in this house. Why? Because they were not free. And Brother Bokyan would be interrogated, and he would have to tell if he knew that we stayed in that house. So it was better for him not to know. Because what you don't know, you can't tell, even though they inject you with sodium pentothal or various other drugs to get the truth out of you. So because they were not in a free atmosphere and had no freedom, there were the faces at the fence. In Canton, China, Brother Sexton will remember, it was just a regular old farm gate out there. Amen. Outside the train station where we stopped. And a literal fence. There they were, just the other side of what looked like a regular old farm gate, the Chinese, looking at some folks that had journeyed from freedom. Amen. There were faces at the fence. Some would live and die and never get to taste freedom. For some, they were already old and it was too late. Some who were young would try for it, like that young man that preached right here in this pulpit that swam the Danube with boats and spotlights, with harpoons looking for him. Amen. As he swam for a rendezvous on the other side. When they found those communist wetbacks swimming for freedom, amen, they would harpoon their bodies, drag them out, and present them back on the other side as examples for all who would try to make that swim for freedom. The brother that was here and preached for us, he's back over there doing missionary work among his own people now. Married a girl, in fact, down in Mobile, Alabama. Amen. And has moved back over there. Amen. In fact, her brother pastored in Lorraine, helped pastor, his youth pastor, amen, for several years. And they're back over there. But he started away up the river, and the river is so swift that he wound up away downstream from where he started. He knew that's the way it would be. Many a person has stood on the banks of the Danube in Romania and stared out across the river, because in Bulgaria they would be taken to a safe house and they would be patriated out of the country. And he made it to the United States. He made it into Texas. He made it to Ozark Bible Institute. Their convocation starts this week, I think. Amen. He made it out there. Amen. And went to Bible school out there. Amen. He itinerated among our churches because he took his life in his hands and swam the Danube. He made it. But a lot of them didn't. The spotlight caught them, Brother Dale. The harpoon got them. They were laid out on the bank on the other side, where it's not free, as examples to those who would try to make it. Amen. The best they could hope for was just a look. And so they gathered at the fence. And there was hundreds of faces at the fence. They could see it for one brief moment. People dressed in Western clothes. People carrying Western luggage. Amen. That they had come to know that were so much better off than they were. Amen. It's terrible to stand at the fence. But it's even worse to have even been on the inside and shook glad hands with the people of God and the people that were free, and at the last moment, because you could not or would not qualify, be thrust out. That's exactly the words that was used in Luke 13:28. And you yourselves thrust out. They got thrown out. Amen. A woman from Romania that was so prolific, and because she was a woman, she was so prolific in her Sunday school activities, in her materials that she produced, and Sunday school materials and teaching materials that she produced for children. Amen. They exiled her from Romania, and she came here, and we talked to her personally after church about going back, and she said in her broken English, "I cannot go back." She had been thrust out. In that case, for her, it was good that she was thrust out. However, she wanted to be back on the inside, ministering to her people, ministering to those children. But she, because she was a Christian, was kicked out of her country. Amen. I tell you, the shoe's going to be on the other foot after a while. Everybody is not a Christian. Every hypocrite. Everybody is putting on an act. Amen. Everybody is not true blue. Is going to be thrust out. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out and among the faces at the fence. It wasn't so with Stephen. They stoned Stephen and his face shone like an angel. Praise God. And he said, "Oh God, lay not this sin to their charge." And just before he died, he said, "I see the heavens open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Stephen wasn't thrust out. The door was open. Hallelujah. And pretty soon, Stephen would be marching through to that special crown, a martyr's crown that he would get because he lived for Jesus in Jerusalem. It was the religious people that stoned Stephen. Amen. Building new churches, Jim, you'll find that a lot of your opposition will come from religious people and from Pentecostal people, at least, that have had a Pentecostal heritage. Amen. Because the West is full of exceeding large churches that had a Pentecostal past. Amen. But they're exceedingly worldly and they hate holiness with a passion. Amen. Kansas City has 90 Assembly of God churches in it. They're exceedingly large, exceedingly worldly, and almost 100% of them hate holiness with a passion. Amen. What's going to happen to those liberals of the modern day? These modern sorry excuses of hypocrisy, amen, and pretense. My God, amen, that all they're interested in is a politic type religion. A religion in name only, to look good, have a name that you live. Amen. Be exceeding big, even though you're exceeding dead. Amen. I'll tell you what's going to happen to them. There's a bunch of them going to be left standing outside. All the Assembly of God are not backslid. All the Assembly of God pastors are not backslid. All Assembly of God members are not backslid. There's a few old timers. Amen. But get a hold of your seat now. Amen. There used to be hundreds of free holiness churches in the Miami Valley. A preacher could live in Hamilton. Amen. And drive back and forth. Amen. And preach every night because they all had one thing in common. They had a standard. Amen. Now they become, some of them, exceeding large and exceeding worldly. And they hate holiness. And we're right back. Back to square one. Amen. A friend of mine that I invited to Ohio when he was 19 years old and gave him his first meeting in Ohio. When he moved into town a few years ago, said, "I'll let you come and preach for me if you won't run them off. Son, all I got to do is get up and preach and they walk out. Amen. I could preach love like a river and they take one look at me and they walk out. Amen. Because they know what I stand for. Amen. They hate me and ain't no love lost. Amen. They make me mad. I get red behind the ears. Amen. When I think about what a waste. Great God, they could have had the power of God, the real thing. Amen. They could have had the glory of God, the real thing. They could have been having a camp meeting, the real thing. And now they've settled for a cheap pretense. And they're going to be left with their faces at the fence. when the saints go marching in. Amen. Oh, what a day that's going to be when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets, and the saints of old go marching in. Well, when the saints go marching in. Well, when the saints go marching in, oh, I want to be in that number. Wait a minute. You can't go with them because you don't qualify. Amen. Thrust him out. Bind him hand and foot. Amen. They paid the price in their day. Well, I'd just like to shake hands with Moses. You can't even shake hands with Moses because he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hallelujah. Amen. Moses made a big choice one day. Glory to God. He traded a place on the throne in Egypt for a place on the throne in glory. It's been a long time coming. Amen. But Moses is going to get his throne, his place with Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're going to get to shake hands with Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Elijah, and Elisha, and the prophets. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, Isaiah. And when they go marching in, we'll go marching in. Hey, everybody's going. Everybody that counts, that is. That's what makes the difference. You talk about the who's who. I got a mailing the other day that told me for a little bit I could get a booklet with all the who's who in the United States of America. Hey, I already know the one that counts. Oh, glory to God. I already know the ones that make the difference. Glory to God. I'm not interested, amen, in that bunch of cheap shots, amen, of pinched pennies, great God, and robbed God, amen, and accumulated a few million, and a little bit of fame, and a little bit of fortune, amen. They're going to die just like that basketball player did this week, amen. They're going to die and leave it all behind, amen. Here's what you want to look out for when you die. Will you go in? Or be thrust out and become a face at the fence. The rich man was just a face at the fence. He saw Lazarus blessed, Lazarus comforted, Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. He became the beggar. The first in the world became the last in the next. Lazarus was a beggar in this world. He became the one that was comforted in that world. What was he begging for? Send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. Amen. Hallelujah. Claudelia wrote it, dip her finger in some water, cool my parching tongue, dip your finger in some water, cool my parching tongue, dip your finger in some water, cool my parching tongue, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Before he got it copyrighted, he sung it in Whitesburg, Kentucky on a radio station. And a man picked it up and copyrighted it before Claude Ely and sold it to Martha Carson. Claude Ely could never sing his own song without paying royalties on it, because they stole it and copyrighted his song. Amen. I've never copyrighted any of mine. Amen. For some reason or other, nobody's ever tried to steal mine. Amen. I don't know why. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Maybe someday, brother, I might ought to get one copyrighted. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, the Bible said freely you have received, freely give. There it is. Take it. Glory to God. Amen. Some people's worried about their writings, you know. No reprint for any reason except by permission of the editor. Hogwash. We're trying to sow seed. Amen. Amen. Nobody can sell my tapes. Amen. Because I want all the money from my tapes. I want all the money from my bright ideas. Amen. Nobody can sell anything from my... Hey, hogwash. We're trying to get the gospel out and get it out as quick as we can. Praise God. Send it into all the world. Amen. Another fellow said, a man's voice is his copyright. Baloney! He got no copyrights. All we got is what God give us. Amen. Aren't you glad Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not copyrighted? Ew! Hallelujah. Let's spread the fire. Let's tell the good word. Amen. Let's get it far and near. We just got a short time to do it. We don't need to build a fence around it. We're not that great. Huh? Amen. We need to open the gate and get everybody in we can. It's going to be too late when they're thrust out. Amen. Stand with me. Father, we don't want to be thrown out. We want to be taken in. Don't let nobody's heard me preach be cast out. Let all of them go in. Amen. Amen. Sister Collins gets upset at me because you have to watch me on a 747 flying 13 hours or I'll slip up, find me an empty seat in the first class section when it gets dark. Amen. And I've set a many a trip in the first class section. My suit and tie on, they thought I belonged there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But a time or two, the stewardess was sharp enough, she recognized that I wasn't with the original bunch. I'm sorry. You'll have to go back to your seat. And I was thrust out. The last trip to the Philippines, amen, or somewhere, I forget. I was blessed. There was a man that was twice as wide as Shane Whitaker trying to sit in a first class seat. And he was miserable. Amen. And there was an empty seat beside me in the coach section. And the stewardess said, would you trade your seat for a first class seat? I said, would I? Way down deep inside. She said, I've got a man that needs both these seats. And here come that guy that was in misery trying to sit in a first class seat. 400 pounds overweight. Amen. And I really legally got to give up my coach seat and sit first class this time. But most of the time, Oak, I just peep through the curtains. I'm on the outside looking in. They serve them first up there. They get more up there. Amen. They even get extra drinks up there that I don't indulge in. Amen. I'll tell you, if you go first class, you got to pay for it, usually. Nobody's going to slip through. But I'm glad to tell you that the price was all paid at Calvary. Amen. And this morning you can go first class. This morning you don't have to slip. No, you don't have to wait till it gets dark like Nicodemus did. He came to him by night. Trying to slip in the first class. And Jesus said, you can have it, but you got to be born again. Amen. As they sing, we invite you to an altar prayer. Shall we pray? Come on.